Well, we're back in our teaching this morning, the three parts of faith. And we're going to be emphasizing now going into the third part. As we go into this teaching, we're going to look at a lot of scripture because number one is, there's things that God will have me share concerning experiences about acting in faith and what you do to act in faith. But also, we can't live by experience if our experiences don't line up with the Word. And we're going to find it all through scripture. We're going to find out as we look in scripture, the power of acting on the Word of God. I can show you, and I'll show you scriptures concerning people being healed that had not confessed a thing. All they did was acted on what the Word said. See, there's much more power in acting than people. We've always put all the powers in the saying. Well, no, a lot of people, the reason they don't have anything happen is because they're not acting on the Word. Many times the action is really what causes and releases the power of God. And so we want to look at this. Now, we use the scriptures, the foundational scripture from Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, which I'll just read. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which are visible. And we're going to talk about, we're going to go in today to look at this because of three parts. We talked about believing. We're believing with our heart. We're believing by an inward man you can't see, but it's the real you. That's where we believe in our heart or our spirit. We have to believe. And then we talked about confession. In other words, we say what you believe in your heart with your mouth. That's part of what you do. And also, then we want to look at this, is what you need to do is what I've always just done is looked at it like this. You got to act like what you said you believed is true. You got to act like it's real. Your actions will either put you over or put you under. And you need to understand this, how you act. One of the things is my actions fortify me. They don't change God. They fortify me to stand. And so we need to understand this. This is one of the things when I first got saved, that was one of the things that I really struggled with, was I heard, when I'd hear Brother Hagin talk and teach on faith, I'd listen to tapes and he'd teach on faith and he would talk about acting in faith. And then he made the statement, he said, Smith Wigglesworth would say, which was a guy that he followed after concerning faith and his teaching. And he said that Smith Wigglesworth would say, faith is an act. And they would talk about that, but it didn't ring a bell with me. It's one of the things I was fortunate when I started off with learning to be led by the Spirit. That's where I started at. The Lord told me to get that series and start to listen to that. And I got that and started listening to it. And somehow I knew in my heart that, I knew these principles of faith. He talked about believing with the heart and saying with your mouth. But the doing part of it, well, what does he mean? Or how do I act when I do? What do I do once I say I believe the Word of God in my heart and I make a statement in my mouth, whatever it is that I believe I receive, what do I do after that? The majority of teaching today, they have believing and confessing, and that's what you do. And that's not true. That's part of it. Sometimes you can't do much but confess it, but you will always have some kind of action. You will always have some kind of action that you're going to do. What you believe, does it happy or sad? See, you're going to act out whatever you believe. You're going to follow your beliefs and your action in life. And we want to look at that. We're going to start off first of all here. I want to turn to James. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible is James. I know this isn't always everybody's, but I tell you what, God dealt with me with this book and taught me about faith and about actions, about walking and what you do. And James helped me out a lot. I like James because James is a straight shooter. He doesn't beat around the bush. I like it. I don't have to, it isn't like, I cook and I like to cook. And sometimes I want to get an idea about making something and I'll go online and look at recipes. And I hate to do it. Because all these people, they'll give you 47 paragraphs of going on talking about nonsense till they finally get down to where, they're telling you what to do. I can't stand that. It's like, get enough. I don't care about none of the rest. That's not what I want, It's like, you want to work on your car, you want to work on the engine, and some guy's telling you about the transmission. We're not working on that. And this is a people to do. People want to think you got to explain everything in the world. No, let's get down to what we need. Let's go there. You can hear too much. And so James, to me, he just gets right to the point where Ed can get it. It's like, okay, I can understand. But James says this. Look in James, the third chapter. We're going to go there. James 3, start at verse 2. It says, "For we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body." Now, I want you to get this because he's talking about the whole body, because we want to look at this about your body. So your body's this physical thing. This body's this thing we act through. You're able to bridle the whole body. Now, he's talking about the physical body. In other words, your physical body, your tongue can either help you or put you over concerning your actions or what you do. You want to look at this. This is one of the things when the Lord dealt with me. I remember back when I was just a young Christian going through this thing about acting, because the Lord dealt with me on a thing, and then he took me to Scripture and started to show me in the Scriptures, because in one of the things he brought me this here to was in the area studying on healing, and he talked about me, my tongue and my body. Most people have a lot of trouble with body and with healing and stuff because of their tongue. They have it. They don't understand your tongue, your health, and whatever else, your practices. Maybe you have habits you want to get rid of. Maybe there's things you want to change about your life. You need to learn to, you can start to use your tongue to guide your body to what you want it to do. You need to learn to do that. What you say. You know, I hear people, you know, it's like with me, I can get in a car and just drive for hours and hours on end. I mean, I can just get in a car and do that. And, you know, I go to the minister's meetings, and ministers say, "Well, I just can't do that." And I always just want to say to them, I keep my mouth shut, "Well, of course you can't. You said you can't. So you can." I said, I've said over the years, I can do it. See, your body's going to follow you. I can get for hours and hours sitting in the car and just driving, driving, driving. Ain't that right, honey? I can drive for days on end. I ain't kidding. You can set yourself. You just keep talking what you can't do, and you can't do it.
That's right.
I know, because I had things I couldn't do until I finally said, "Ed, you need to shut up. You want to do this, then you need to shut up. You've been saying all the wrong stuff." So I need to get myself and talk to myself, and I start saying things about myself, what I can do. People say, "Well, we can't do that." Well, okay, you said you can't, so you can't. You can't do that. See, people, instead of saying what they want to have take place, they say what they already have. That's what they're walking around saying what you already got. And so if you want to change things, then you got to change things. Well, even like with the areas of habits and things. Here we find, if you can't stumble, it's a perfect man, is able to bridle the tongue. It said, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that may obey us, and we turn their whole body." See, he's talking about the tongue. Now, he said, you can turn your whole body. In other words, you can get your body, you can get this outward thing, which really, this is the thing that we really have to deal with in this life. You know, you ain't dealing with your heart don't want to follow God. It's your flesh wants to do something else. Hallelujah. And your flesh will try to get your mind to follow what it wants to do. It'll groan and complain, you know, and do whatever it does. And so we want to bring the body into line. He said, look at ships. He said, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by this very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And then he says this, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of hell, and it sets on fire, it's a set on fire by hell. Now, talking to us, if you naturally walk and you naturally use your tongue and just let it do, you're going to cause trouble. Have you ever set a fire in your life by your tongue? You've been saying things and set a fire. You did it, you know. The Bible talks about, you know, when you have, you know, dealing with arguments about using a calm tongue, you can turn things. Well, it is. We need to understand our tongue can either be a blessing and turn our body to what it wants to, or we can cause ourselves big trouble by our tongue. This is one thing as the Lord taught me over the years. Now, we talked about meditation and did a teaching. You know, all this stuff works together. This is, we have to teach it in separate things. But see, in meditation, it's one thing is everybody wants to do things to keep their body comfortable, you know. Because that's your flesh. Your flesh wants to do, your flesh don't like to do things that, you know, make it uncomfortable, you know. We go, you know, when learning and that stuff, people, I find this in the Bible, Christians, they like to study certain subjects because they make them happy. They don't like to look over on the judgment things and that. They don't like to look in those things. They don't look in that things there about, you know, what happens when you don't live right. We don't want to look in those places. Although we need to learn to say, you know, flesh, I don't care if you, that makes you uncomfortable, so we're going there. Makes you unhappy? Let's go there. Let's don't make my spirit unhappy. Makes your flesh unhappy. Well, see, God taught me these principles. See, the Lord taught, when I got saved, the Lord said He was going to teach me faith by my military training. And see, military training is discipline. It's doing things you don't want to do. You have to go toward somebody who's shooting at you. Oh, that's exciting. Isn't that fun? Well, I found out faith that way. You're walking toward things when everything in the natural is going the opposite way. And you're walking at it. And that thing you're standing in faith about wants to run you over. I think, you know, you got a disease, wants to kill you. You got something happened to you and it wants to do this. It wants that, you know, you got this stuff going on. Well, it ain't a place of comfort. Flesh ain't going to be high. The flesh, my flesh still sometimes don't want to go over in things if you got to walk by faith. It doesn't want to go there. There's nothing abnormal about that. See, what's the problem with American society? American society is all about comfort. Everything's about comfort, ease, doing things easily. How I can sit and not do a thing and everything shows up, you know. I can get a beautiful body doing nothing, you know. Eating lunch all the time, you know. Well, sure, you know, come on. Let's get over ourselves, you know. It's the way it is, you know. I guess, you know, sometimes I think, am I just living on another planet? And everybody else, I just come and visit this place on Sundays. And everybody else, no, we're doing that. We want to do the things that make us happy and make us. And there's nothing matter of times doing that. But life's about facing things you don't want to face. And to be successful at it, you're going to have to learn to do it and learn the value of doing it. That the value is greater because of outcome. We're not outcome people generally in America. We're not outcome. We're comfort as long as we can get through with it and wait till the disaster happens. Even though it's been reported, it's going to be there. We're still going to stay in comfort till it blows up. We're not going to blow the fuse out. No. No, we're going to let it explode because if I have to get near there, that makes me uncomfortable to blow that fuse out. I don't want to do that. So we're in that spot. So we find out here is starting off, there's a thing we have to do is get our body. See, actions have to do with out here in the natural. Acting in a way that is different to what's going on around you. See, faith is about this invisible world that we can't see and taking those things of the invisible world and manifesting in here. Lots of times your actions are the first manifestation. You're acting like, in the natural, what you say you believe, you're acting like it's true. See, you're acting like, you know, I always get a kick out. They do these, you know, we're the great poll society, always doing polls. And they're the biggest joke in the world, you know, these polls. And you know they aren't any good, or politicians follow them. You know what Washington's like? Well, they follow them, so you know they're no good, because Washington sure is doing a terrible job about things. It don't work, but they do. But they have these polls, and I was reading a poll some time ago, and they said 80% of Americans believed the Bible was true. And by half an hour later, after I got off the floor laughing, I just, you know, 80%. It doesn't matter what you believe. It don't matter what you believe. You can believe anything. Believing the Bible's true will produce nothing in your life. It doesn't do anything. Even you saying it's true doesn't produce anything in your life. Nothing. Zero. It's what you do with it is what's going to produce something. It's what you do. See, we need to get this in our mind. We got to need this, you know, it's easy to believe, say, I believe things. Might even be easy to confess them. Sometimes it's not. Some people don't like to confess it. If I say that, people will think I'm weird. Well, I got over it. I found out they all thought I was weird anyhow, so we just got over that one quick. I'm weird. But we're going to say this, we're going to say something, and they're going to go along with it. But when you start acting it out, that's when it really gets ugly. Amen. People don't like that. But one thing is I've found is I like the results that come by following these principles of believing in my heart, saying with my mouth, and acting like it's true, because I found out what it would do when I did that. It was for my blessing. God set this principle up. It's how He operates and how He works. Actually, God's very simple in what He does and how He does things. Just think, God knows everything. There's nothing from in the future or the past He doesn't know. He knows it all, yet He set up a plan that man can actually operate and is the way He operates. This is how faith works. God's not moved by what He sees. He'd have never saved you if He was moved by what He saw. Would He? I mean, no. He wasn't moved. God looked at outcome. And God set everything up on outcome of what He wanted. And He set it up. And it's this thing of faith. He took things that had no substance and said things. Then He tells us, because we're spirit beings made like Him, we can say things. And we can do in the same manner. We can be like God. Now, this will sure make people nervous. But this is what you do. You're acting like God. Faith is a God thing. That's what it is. It's acting like God is. Now, you know what? Men are naturally inclined to the fact to believe things and say things and bring them to pass, good or bad. They don't know how they did it or how it worked. So what today they say, well, you know, this is the thing, is Christianity throws out the thing and says, well, God's in control. They don't realize they bought all this stuff to pass themselves, and they say, God did it. No, they used the ability that God gave man to be like He is to form whatever it is that they had, and whether they wanted it or not. And I'm sure if you're like me, I've had a few things I didn't want, and I had to change what I was doing. Now, you're living in this world. There's things that will come along. You can walk as right as you want to be. Things will come along and be in the opposite direction. But it's what you do. See, these are the things and times that are contrary that you have to be able to stand against this stuff. You want to change that for yourself. You can't change this for everybody else. When we cooperate with each other, it's amazing what we could do. But we have to look at this fact. Now, acting on the Word, we want to walk in the light of this. So our actions will be controlled really a lot by our mouth. Our mouth needs to be a thing that sets us in a direction. We need to use that. Just understand, if I want to have the right actions, getting yourself over as saying, like, people like sometimes have habits or things in their life they'd like to change. Most of the time people will only talk about what their problem is. They won't speak in a direction. That's why I always use it. I really liked it because I first got saved. I remember Ken Copeland did this, told his testimony about a guy. A young man came to him. I've told this numbers of times, but it's great. Get it in yourself. It works. And the young guy came to him, and he just got saved and stuff, and he smoked, and he wanted to quit smoking. So he talked to Ken Copeland about it. Ken said, from now on, he said, and I'm sure Ken got a wisdom from God on this, what to do, because you always don't do everybody exactly the same way. You know, it's one thing is about ministry. It's one thing is I don't like a lot of books on ministry because they have nothing but canned answers, and that ain't the way with people. You can have two people have the identical same problem, but the cause is two different things. And you can minister to one a certain way, and it'll work. The other one, you try to do the same thing, it'll do nothing. That's why we're called led by the Spirit, sons of God. That's why it's called that. You got to listen on the inside because everybody's not the same. But in this guy's incident, here it's had with him. He said, every time you light up a cigarette, he said, you still thank God I don't smoke anymore. And the guy just looked at his young guy, looked at him like, you're nuts. He said, no, just do that. Every time. He said, I could have quit. No, he said, don't get caught over just the quitting thing. That's start to do this. See, if you understand this, you'll understand why things you never got over. You're just always focused on the trying to change it thing rather than do what it causes to change. You get it? Uh-huh. So, he said, you just say that every time. I go, okay. So, what he said when he first started, he talked to Ken after that because he turned around and quit. And he talked to Ken later and said, you know, he said, I thought this is just a stupid thing. He said, I almost felt stupid doing that. You know, saying, thank God, saying to God, thank God I don't smoke anymore. And I'm lighting a cigarette up. But he said, I started to do that. And I lit him up. And he said, one day, I went to him and said, thank God I don't smoke anymore. And he said, it just dawned on me. He said, I don't smoke anymore. That's it. You see, he got his body to follow his tongue. We're trying to change our bodies, and then we'll change what we say. We're working the opposite. We're working things in an opposite direction. Don't do that. Get yourself. Because, see, the devil will make you guilty. Well, who are you? You're lying. You're lying saying it. No, just go ahead. Let him say what he wants. Let him do what he wants. See, we need to get over and start to practice. Why? Got himself over. All of a sudden, the revelation came to him what he said. It's like me. I was a drunk. And when I got saved, and the Lord said to me, you see, you don't have to drink anymore? Man, I tell you, the light came on in me, and I don't have to do it no more. I never knew anything like that. I never could see myself as not drinking. I don't have to do it anymore. It's like, Woo! See, the light comes on. And see, that's what we need. This is why it's Nehemiah's confession. He was starting off making a statement. It wasn't faith. But he was saying something till it became. And it guided his body. His body ended up following. His body lost cravings. My body lost cravings. Like people see, you know, you're a drunk, you know, people do this today, you know, it's like AA. I had a guy I worked with, I was in Lebanon County Prison, he was a correction officer who was an alcoholic and he went through AA. And he was just always fighting not to drink. Now this guy, he hadn't drank for a long time, years, but he's still always going back to the meeting. Well, you know, I tried to talk to him about it because I see he wasn't Christian, but his whole thing was this. Every meeting you stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. And when I talked to him, he talked about being an alcoholic. I said, you know what? I was an alcoholic, but I said, I ain't an alcoholic no more. He said, no. He says, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. And I said, you're going to fight this for the rest of your life. You ain't going to ever get over it. Why? Because your body is following your tongue. Your body is following your tongue. You see, this is where they get wrong. Now, they do the same thing with drugs. They say, you gotta say, I'm a drug addict. Well, don't be surprised. You're going to stay that way. You're going to stay that. See, they do that. I had a guy I knew, and he came to me because when he got saved, he had been involved with homosexuality and stuff, and he got saved. So he went to a spirit-filled, it was a Rhema church, spirit-filled. He came to me one day, he's talking, he said, you know, I go, they have these meetings for us, you know, they're dealing with people with dealing with homosexuality. He said, now, I haven't gotten involved, I'm not involved with it at all, but he said, you find sometimes you know, your body wants to go that direction. And he said, I want to learn how to deal with that. Well, he went, and they're holding their meetings just like AA meetings. And he said, they want us to stand up and say, I'm a homosexual. This is a big Rhema church. This is what they're doing. I said, get out of there quickly. They're the program church. But you know what? Christians love programs. Oh, give me a program. Give me a program. I'll tell you what. No, give me the truth. Hallelujah is the truth. I told him, I said, you're a born again Christian. I said, you're not a homosexual. I said, that man died. And I said, they're doing everything they can to bring that back. I said, don't you allow them to. You don't allow them to do that. I said, you're born again. Hallelujah. Is number one. I said, talk about yourself, of what you are. Start talking about who you are in Christ. Start talking. That becomes about who you are. Those tendencies come. You spike the right thing and start talking on the right thing. It'll change your body. I just, see, this is one of the things is doing this. This is how the Lord taught me concerning like running long distances. I wanted to run long distances, but I found this out. You know, if you're going to run or do anything like that, a long period run it, you have a lot of time for your body to talk to you. Yeah, you do. This is why most people can't do it, because they cannot override their body. And so the Lord said he's going to teach me some things on this. He wanted to teach me. And what he did is during in the areas of meditation. That was where meditation came in. Because I run, I meditate, and I talk to myself. So you're crazy if you talk to yourself. I said, you're a nut if you don't. If you don't talk to you, you're going to just listen to what everybody else says. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to go as far as they'll let you. No, you talk to yourself. Well, the Lord started showing me to do this is meditate. I could go out and run long distance. I could run 5 or 6 miles. I do a 10-mile run, and five of the 6 or 6 miles of that 10-mile run, I wouldn't even remember running it. I'd get back home and say, gee, where did I run past it? Did I go? See, I'd get out, I'd get into meditation. I'd get over so thought in thought of what I was meditating on. See, I would do it. It's just like, you know, I was out, you know, running this week, and I was out running this week. Well, I'm out running. I'm thinking about, I was meditating on things that I'm going to teach. I was meditating on some of the scriptures in this, and I go out and do it. Why? Because I can go for periods where I don't hear my body. Because as soon as you can listen to your body, it's going to tell you how tired you are, and you can't wait to tell you how tired you are. You can't wait to do that. You can't wait to, my body, I'm sweating and I'm hot, you know. Because that's what your body's saying to you. And you got to go, shut up, I'm doing something else over here. You know, you got to learn how to do it. When you're doing something else, quit bothering me. Got to learn to do that with people sometimes. I'm doing this. Leave me alone. Ain't honey. Because I found out all this doing 10 things at one time is the biggest lie on the face of the earth. Nobody does anything good doing that. Messed up people. So I get it, and the Lord taught me this, is how to meditate, where I could run long distances. And I found out, I looked forward to go out, because I got more revelations while I was running. I had more times that the Lord spoke to me while I was out running, when people can't get God to talk to them, and they're praying in quiet. Because their body's so loud. You see, you got to learn. And he taught me how to get my body in a position where things are loud in your body, where your body's and you can still not listen to it. So you got to develop to that place. If you want to come to a strong place of faith, you got to come to the place when your body is loud, your meditations and your concentration on God is bigger than what that is. If you can't, in the bad situations, you won't hear from God. You won't hear. Now, I'm not criticizing. You won't. That's why I say, I've learned to hear God in bad situations. God always talks to me in a bad situation, because I have learned not to let the voice of my body and my mind get louder. Yeah. Oh, they're loud, but you set your meditation. Set yourself. Learn to do that. Set yourself. Why? Because you're going to speak something. You make sure what you're going to say is going to be beneficial to the need. You've got to make sure that that's what you're going to do. One way or the other, you're going to say something about the situation. One way or the other. See, I've learned, I don't ever talk to, I don't say, I'll go along, thoughts coming to my mind, boy, I'm running along feeling tired. I don't know. Hallelujah. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead's living in me, making my body more alive. Hallelujah. I got more life in me. Amen. So you got to get louder than your body talks. And you got to tell your body, you ain't got an excuse to be tired. Holy Ghost quicken you. Shut up. You got to learn to do those things. You got to learn about your body. Because your body wants to limit you more. I realize this. You know, one day, Ed, living in this earth, if Jesus don't return, I'll die. You know, the body is decaying, but I don't have to let it go so quick. I don't have to be a complete dummy and an idiot, you know, real soon. See, this is people do. They don't realize what they're doing. They're setting courses for their life. And we need to understand this, because we have heard here. My actions are going to turn around and follow this tongue thing. So I got to be able to get my concentration over. I got to be able to get it off of this other. I got to change my actions. You know, I went up this week another mile. So I'm running 4 miles now. You know, hallelujah. I'm out here pushing. My body yells at me and I tell it, shut up. We're just what we're doing. Hallelujah. We're going to do this. But see, it's one thing. See, a lot of what you do in life, we're really dealing with your body, a lot of it's psychological, and it is. And you use biblical psychology to get yourself over to be able to accomplish things. You have to learn to do that. See, I have people tell me all the time, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, you can't. Well, you can't even start doing it. Why don't I just don't try? You said you can't. You're wasting your time. You're going to get out here. You know, it's learning to do things that you don't enjoy doing. See, because the reason people don't enjoy it, because their body. This isn't the thing that really makes me happy. I need to do it. How many times people say, I need to do this or I need to do that, but I don't like to. Well, hey, you know, I didn't always like, you know, getting up in the morning, going to work, but you just got, you know, you do it. You get it up. Say, how did my body a choice? Why? I learned I like paychecks. The reward was more than it was. You get dummies, stupid people talk and say dumb things. They want the paycheck, but they don't get them. They don't. Why? Because they're stupid. They turn around. No, I want to have the pleasure of not going to work today. I want to have that pleasure. But I want the pleasure of having money. And now, so now we have a government that says, don't go to work. We'll take care of you. These are the things that we got. Absolute insanity. So, but these are the crazy things that are going on. Now, I want to look, we're going to look at James, but we're going to back up in James in the second chapter. We're going to head the other way, because we want to look at James, because James gives us wonderful information about this. And God dealt with me of this years ago when he talked to me about my body, getting my body in line so it does the right things. So even healing, I found out, you get your tongue in line, you can control your body. What happens? Your body's hidden sickness and disease. I realize, hold it, I can use my tongue to start to change, to bring that back into line. And so we want to have these actions on to here. And look what James says. I'm going to look at James 2:14. He opened, this verse is two questions he asks. He has two questions here. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now he said, is there any profit in the fact that you say you have faith and you don't have any works? He asks him a question. So he's going to go on and answer the question. But he asks that question. And then he says this, can that kind of faith save you? Faith without works? It don't. But we're taught today it does. We're taught today it does. Faith people teach faith with no work will save you. And it won't. Now we need to understand work. We ain't getting works to be saved. But we need to understand this. Faith is not something that you have today. Look, if faith was something like people say, well, you know, God, I got saved. So I'm just always saved. See, we've been once saved, always saved. You got it through your entire life. Well, if it works like that, then if I believe one time to get healed, I'd always be healed, wouldn't I? If faith works that way, well, it don't. Only in the mind of the stupid. Only in the mind of people who don't know the Bible. See, we need to understand this stuff of how faith actually works. There's a lot of stuff, you know, we got to break the habit of things that have been taught to us that have deep-seated into us because the majority teach it. But let's look what the Bible teaches about this here. He asked the question, can faith save you? Why would Jesus tell Kenneth Hagin in September 2nd, 1950, that many of my people are not going to be ready to meet me at my coming? Why would he say that if once your faith's just always good, everything's good, it's all right? Yeah. Why would he say that? Where do we put that at? How do we figure? He said, many were going to turn back and not be ready to meet me. Am I coming? Huh. Well, I thought faith just worked and just worked and worked and worked. But I'm going to show you why it doesn't, because I'm going to show you the power of actions. You can believe the right thing. You can say the right thing. But if you don't act, your faith dies and will not profit you at all. Will not profit you one iota. It will not produce anything. In fact, you'll get back so far away from it, you'll never even bother even talking about it or believing it after a while. After a while, you'll just be doing your own thing. You'll be just talking out of your mind about things of God. It'll just be a mental thing you'll say every once in a while to try to make yourself feel good when you know you're not doing good. We don't want to go there. See, these principles, if we follow them, they continually inspire us and lead us to a greater place and a stronger place. That's what they're for. They're not something you do a little bit and you go lay it down. You can't. You can't do it. It's a way of life. That's why faith is a walk. It's a way of life that you live. It's something you got to maintain and do. It isn't something you go, well, you know, I don't walk by faith and then something bad happens. Now I'm going to be Mr. or Mrs. Faith. I'm sorry. It don't work that way. It's something in a practice in life. And you know what? I found this out. It's a practice I love because the benefit of it is so great. And I'll tell you, just in its psychological standpoint, keeping your mind from getting into worries and fears and stuff about things. Being able to walk along when trouble comes and you can still lay your head down on the pillow at night and sleep. This faith walk is wonderful. It's for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. It works in the whole thing. And this is why you want to go over and live this life. If you don't, you're going to be the roller coaster Christian. You're going to be the up and down person. Oh, I've seen them all the time, you know, roller coaster Christians, you know, all the time, you know, going up and down, up and down. When something's good, oh, everything's wonderful. And the next day something happens and then, you know, that's their life. You ever been around people like that? I like to try to get away from them as quick as I can. It's because they don't walk by faith. They have to learn this. Some of them have been taught it. They don't know. Now, we want to talk about this word works here. That work is a Greek word, ergon. But this word here, its idea is this, is ergon, is to work. It means there's toil involved. It says, as an effort or occupation, but it implies the fact of an act or deeds, acts or deeds. It's labor, or it could be work, or it's doing. So we need to understand, what's he talking about? He says, if someone says he has faith and does not have what? Actions or deeds or doings? If he don't have those things. In other words, faith produces something in you. Faith changes what you do if you're in faith. It'll change your actions. See, this is what I'll use the thing. When I got saved and Wanda said, I asked her why she got saved. She said, because She said, I started watching you, and she said, I'm living with a different man. Well, how was she a different man? She didn't see my inner man. She saw what my actions were on the outside were different. In other words, my actions were more in line with what faith is than what the world does, which she watched all those years before. So that changed. My actions. You cannot stand in faith and it does not change what you do. If it doesn't change what you do, you need to check your faith, what you're believing. You need to check it. It'll change it. It'll change. I've learned to monitor myself with that. When I step over in the area, say I'm in faith, and sometimes I've had to stop and say, hey, Ed, your actions ain't in line with what you say you're believing. I need to get my, hold it. Let's back this thing up here a little bit. So you can run around and say all you want, but I'm going to tell you, your doing's going to put you over or run you over. One of the two is going to do it to you. So he asked these questions here. Now that word, he said, can faith save you? That word is the Greek word sozo. Same word we use for people talk about to being saved, born again. He said, can faith save you? If it doesn't have anything to it, what has it got? It's the same word many times translated where Jesus said to a person was healed or made whole. And that's what it is. It's a wonderful sozo. When you see the word sozo, it's really dealing with the area of life. It's dealing with you're getting well, whole, sound, whatever it might be. That's where sozo comes from. That word means. He said, can a faith that doesn't have works with it, can that kind of say faith save you? See, I didn't get any works to get saved, but when I got saved, there's works. Once I got over in the faith place leads me to have certain manifestations that coincide with believing. That's what it wants to do. See, this is why you need to learn more in the Word. See, I didn't start out doing as well as I am now, and I'm not doing as well as I want to be. Why? Well, you learn more, you can walk more by faith, and you can change more. And this is how we do. We do it by faith. Now, look what he goes on here. We want to look at this. James in verse 15 says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Now he's asking, does this profit anything? Now listen what the next verse says, because we want to tie them. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. Now I want you to see people take us, oh, see, I'm faith because I'm feeding the poor. That isn't what this is talking about. He's using the illustration here for this purpose, that faith ain't just talk. Faith is not just talk. Oh, I wish they'd start preaching that more. Faith ain't just talk. There's a doing. In other words, what does it do that profit anything to, well, yeah, good luck, I'll tell you a prayer, yeah, bless your brother. You know, if you have the ability to help him, help him. What you would do, yeah, that would be the right thing to do. He said in the same way, dealing with the subject of faith, in the same manner with that. If you say you have faith and it don't change what you're doing, it's dead. Your faith is not producing anything. Your faith will produce good works. It will, it will, it will. It'll produce it. You don't get saved by it, but, see, when I believe for healing, see, we don't think about this. If I believe I received my healing, I just got saved. When I said, and I did my heart, if I said I believed I received, and I believed in my heart, and I believe I received my healing, I just got saved to sickness. Oh, we don't believe. We only believe you got saved when you feel better. That's what 99.9% of Spirit-filled people. They think they got saved when it showed up. That's why they say they were believing for the manifestation. No. I got saved when I believed it. Now, I got to act. I got to change the way I act. Do I change like I got something, or am I acting like I still don't have it? Most people will still do everything acting like they don't have it. That's the same way you get born again. Do you act like you got born again, or do you act like you never got born again? Well, one way or the other, your faith's going to either be lifted up or it's going to die. One way or the other, what you were believing could have been right and true, but it will not produce a thing unless what you do afterwards. This is what he's trying to talk about here. Now, James, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. He said, show me your faith without your works. He said, I'll show you my faith. He said, with my or my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith. See, there's faith to be seen. You know, we're going to look at the fact. You know, one instance, Jesus said, and they brought a guy who was paralyzed and said he saw their faith. I tell you what, I've seen it all the time with people. I've seen people make confessions, talk about faith, and I don't see no faith at all. Then the other hand, I see people, they ain't blabbing all the time, but man, they're walking by faith. I can see it in their life. They're walking by faith. There's talk Christians and there's walk Christians. Amen. Become the walk Christian. Now the walk Christian is going to have talk. But not just talk. That's not going to have. It's not going to have. There's talk and walk. He said, now listen to what he says. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. What he does, he throws in her face. You believe in God, that's a good thing. But the devils believe that too. Does it do anything for the devil? No. And it won't do anything for you either. It's not going to do nothing for you. It don't save the devil. It's a good thing to believe it, but that don't mean anything's going to happen. See, people, I heard people tell me, well, I believe in God. Well, good luck. What does that do? That produces nothing. You know, I believe in Jesus. Well, huh, when are you going to act like it? See, this is good teaching, folks. It's good teaching. See, you learned this, and I learned this principle. Thank God, I was just a young Christian. And the first incident I had with it, I learned this thing where God taught me what to do, and I'm going to talk about that. Now listen, he goes on to say here, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead, or faith without action, faith without deeds, or faith without doing something? There's action with faith. And once you believe something, it changes what you do. Hallelujah. Faith's a powerful thing. Change what you do. Glory to God. The power in it is phenomenal to do it. Now, he says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works or his actions, faith was made perfect? It performed it. God told him to do something. He could have said, yeah, I believe God wants me to, and not go do it. He had done that. Yeah, I believe God's right. Yeah. I'm believing God. Well, he wouldn't have moved. His faith would have been dead. He went and did it. Bible tells us he believed God raised his son from the dead. That's what he believed. So his belief, I'm going to tell you what, that's a powerful faith. I'm going out here and offer my son for a sacrifice. God will raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. Why did he believe that? He had place to believe it. Because God told him that that son was the heir. He was the one that the seed was going to turn around and come from. He told him that. He had every right to believe that. Because if he would have sacrificed his son and God would have turned around and would let him kill his son and would have raised him from the dead, God would not have been justified at all. God would have been no better than the devil. Yes, we got to get over the fact of God. God's word stands and he'll always uphold his word. You got to come to that place. This is why it's dealing with actions. I've done a lot. I've told you, you know, things like having a heart attack. Why I did the actions I did. The reason I did the actions I did, because I didn't believe I was going to die. See, the first thing I told the devil when the devil told me I was going to die, I said, this ain't between you and me. This is between me and my God. See, the devil ain't playing in the field. Mr. Death ain't on the field. It's Ed and God are in the huddle together. Me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we're in the huddle together on this thing. I can run down the road because I'm not going to die. Because, see, I believe that I'm healed, and if I believe that I'm healed, then I have it. So I'm going to go act like I have it. I'm not going to act like I don't got it. I'm going to act like I got something. So when my body's saying, you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing, I don't feel a thing, I feel terrible, I feel lousy. My body's yelling the whole time. But what am I going to do? Am I going to agree with my body or am I going to agree with God? I have a choice. See, my actions are going to come out of that. See, you can't do what I did. You'd have to believe what I did. See, you just, some people, they watch somebody do something that worked for them. They watch somebody gave away a car and got a car, so they go give their car away and don't get nothing. Well, they didn't do it by faith. Well, no faith involved. They're just copying somebody's actions alone without faith ain't going to produce anything. You're going to be left out there in the cold. It's these things that work together. These things that move together cause you to see. And I learn over time. But now the reason and how I learned that was when I asked the Lord about faith, then I had an incident happen to me after I wanted to know, well, how do you act in faith? And I saw and learned right away that my faith wasn't operating at the level it should because I didn't have understanding. It wasn't because I wasn't trying to do what's right. But I woke up in the morning. I used to get up. I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I got up at 5:30 in the morning to go to work, and I got like, every day, and I woke up and it felt terrible. Now, to me, the first thing that crossed my mind, because see this one, see a lot of teaching on faith. See, you know, you just believe God and make a confession. So I'm laying there on the bed, feeling really lousy, really bad, and I just, well, praise God, I believe I'm healed. And, you know, I'm here talking to myself. See, and I say, I believe 1 Peter 2:24, and I'm here going through this thing, and I believe that. And then this thought went through my mind. Now, I didn't say this thought, but I just thought it. And this thought came to me, I'm going to call off work, and I'm just going to believe God. And when that thought went through my mind, then inside of me, the Holy Spirit spoke up. It wasn't my spirit, it was the Holy Spirit in me. More authoritative voice spoke up in me and said, if you call off work, you're going to lay in sick on bed all day. So that's what's going to happen to you. I thought, boy, this is exciting. I'm here, Mr. Faith, you know. But I found out this, I didn't have actions. So that same voice said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? So I quoted it. But see, I didn't quote it with a revelation of what it was really saying. I quoted the scripture. I could quote it. I could say it. But the Holy Spirit said, well, if you believe that's true, then get up out of bed and act like it. He didn't say real cute, oh, Ed, I know this is going to disturb you, and this is hard to do, poor little old Ed. But get your butt out of bed. He said, get out of bed and act like it. See, he wanted my actions to come in line with what I was saying. Now, let me say this to you, because see, here's one thing, and I learned this over time, like Kenneth Hagin, when he's a boy, and he was saved and then healed in bed. See, you know, the Lord spoke to him, and he turned around. He finally got in line where he was believing the word. He believed what it said, and he said what it said. And the Lord said, okay, now you're in faith. He said, now, are people in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning? He said, no. Well, he said, you need to get up. Now, he's paralyzed in bed. He's been bedridden for 15 months. Now, I know you've had it so much harder. Your life's been much more tough. So he drags himself and he gets himself, and I've heard him personally talk about it and that stuff. But really what he did is he finally got himself, he said he was slumped over the bedpost holding him up because his legs wouldn't hold him. He slumped over the bedpost. But he's doing what he can. See, you know, God could have gave him some strength and he got up there, but he didn't. Why? God wants him to act in faith. God's teaching him. See, I learned this principle. Once you learn this principle and you can walk by it, you don't have to do all this other rigmarole and stuff with people trying to get well and doing stuff. You don't do a lot of those things. It works. You start acting like you got something. God got him out of bed to teach him about this, how this works. Once he got out of bed and he's hanging over there, he said, then he said it was like, he said, like honey poured, warm honey poured down on him. He said, the top of his head to the sole of his feet, strength started coming in his body. But it didn't until he did something. Now, I decided this. When I heard him, I said, I ain't letting a kid outdo Ed. I would be ashamed to say he can do that and I can't. I'd be ashamed to do that. No. If he could do that, then I can do that. See, we need to get ourselves in our thing. We get ourselves in our mind and we're thinking about stuff. And we get, this is one of the things, I mean, it can get really hard, especially over if you're dealing in the areas with doctors and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, it's like with Wanda, she had, you know, like a foot surgery and that stuff. And, you know, they said, you know, she couldn't get her, she wasn't going to be able to wear shoes for another week. When the doctor said that, I thought, he don't know my wife. She'd be wearing shoes. He don't know. No, but she didn't do it because she just, I'm going to wear shoes. Look, You don't get healed because you don't take medication. You don't get healed because you do, you know, you're going to do something. See, I know people, you know, there's, well, I'm just going to go do something there. You know, I'm having pain, but I'm just going to go ahead and do stuff because I'm just going to work through this. Well, you can do that, but boy, you could end up hurting yourself a whole bunch. I do what I do, and Wanda's learned to do what she does by faith. See, I wouldn't pay any attention to a doctor to tell me how long it's going to take me to heal. I wouldn't pay no attention at all. I just thank them, yeah, thank you. They let it goes in one ear out the other because I'm going to have a quick recovery. If I'm going to have, you know, that's just the way it's going to happen. I'm sorry, that's just what's going to take place. I'm not going to be laying around forever. I'm not going to do this just so I can get off work 6 weeks. Well, have fun off 6 weeks. Watch what happens to your faith over time. You don't use your faith in things. Don't expect it to work. You'll come to the day when you need to cause a death coming, and you just, best thing to do is call, you know, call in there and tell them, say, hey, get the casket ready. I'll be in. Because your faith ain't going to work. You can't let it go by on things, and then the biggie comes, and then we're going to run and jump on it, you know. It don't happen. Unless you get a working of miracles or you get a special gift of healing, it ain't changing. You don't go from no faith to big faith just poof. Mm-hmm. I found out this about people, especially dealing with, it's not within, like, say, a culture. It could be within a culture of a family. You know, there's some families, just the way that they operate and they work, they're more prone to go toward being able to walk by faith and that stuff because of the way, see, I was, but walk by faith because of the way my parents did with their life. I was more geared toward it. Thank God, it wasn't because of me, but it was because of family background and how we were taught and trained. So that training and thing was easy. It's like when I was just going in the military. It was easy for me in the military to, because we were disciplined, trained to go to do things. See, lousy, you don't train your children. Don't expect them to do it. There's things they're not going to do well at. Faith is one thing a lot of people don't do well at because families are lack of discipline. You teach that discipline within them how to do that. It is very easy to come over this because you're walking in something you can't see. And if you're a person that's always just geared toward what's easy and what's that's a hard place to walk, this place where I can't see. See, we didn't care. Mom and Dad didn't care what you saw. Shay said, do this, you better do it. They don't care how you felt. They didn't care. But we found the benefit of that life. There was a benefit in that life that was greater than the other people had. There's a benefit to it. And so you need to understand that. So that's why we go heading in this faith walk and going around here. But this doing and actions is like with Kenneth Hagin. He did actions, and that actions inspired him. Those actions. He learned that after that, of how faith works and how it operates. He understood the importance of what you do. See, we want to obey God, you know. Like the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. You want your faith to work in giving. You know, get happy. Get happy when you give. Don't be like, oh man, I tell you what, it's hard to give today, and they get a groan in their face. I'm sorry, that ain't faith. Your actions are saying, I don't like doing this. I don't want to do this thing. It ain't going to work. If you thought it's going to work, you'd go, woohoo, glory. Can't wait to give this thing. I need a bunch of money over here, and I got to hurry up and give this away. I got to get it out of here because I tell you, I need it. It's coming to me. No. I'll tell you, honest, I had plans for this, you know. Because God ain't big enough. See, you got to get over it. You got to get joy. Hallelujah. You know, first time God told Wanda and I to give all the money we had away. We didn't get long face at all. In fact, I said to Wanda, God told me to put all the money in we have. And I thought, oh, what's she going to say? And she said, well, if he told you, then do it. Boy, I was glad I got that answer. I didn't know if I was going to get slapped at first or not. I didn't know. I said, this man's insane. Hallelujah. But we didn't get long-faced. We didn't get long-faced about it. We didn't do that. Well, what are we going to do now? Live good. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do now. See, you got to get your action. See, all this is about action. Is your faith really real to you? It's got to come to that place that is so real to you that you act like it's real. Hallelujah. You act like you got something instead of you're just trying to get something. You'll be long-faced trying to get stuff. But if you believe you got it, hallelujah. I don't care if I see it with my eyes. I know I got it. I know it's mine. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. You know, I don't see my, I can't see heaven. I don't see heaven. I read the book and I just get so happy. I read that stuff about, I read those things. I think, oh my God, what am I going to? Woo-hoo-hoo! Where am I? This is mine. See, it's real to me. So what do? You act like it's real. See, it doesn't, down here in this earth, all this stuff going on. I tell you what, my destiny is so much more real than what's happening here. This is smoke, man. This is smoke here. Hallelujah. Glory to God on the other side of the smoke. Woo! There's eternity. Hallelujah. Glory forever. See, you live there. Oh, what if you die? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I get to leave. You're always going to have trouble in the areas of believing God for health. You're scared to die. Amen. You're always going to have trouble. You got to get over it. I've had the devil tell me a number of times I was going to die. I said, praise God, I get to be with Jesus. Shut up, you moron. I'll decide when we leave. Not you. Hallelujah, but I would like to go. It puts a smile on my face. Amen. It don't make me unhappy. I'll tell you what, I've done funerals of other Christians, and I was almost like disappointed they got to go and I didn't. They're with Jesus. Oh, but I want to be here. I want to be here. I don't want your long face here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, we got to go and say, die. We get to be with Jesus. Stay here with you folks. Jesus. Yeah. We don't want to. God don't want to say, which do you want to? You want to go now? See, I got over where I wanted to leave. And he told me to knock it off. Because I tell you, I've touched over there. And you touch over there, this stinks. That's glory. And I wanted to go there. And I got over to where I wanted to go there till the Lord had to deal with me. Because I'll tell you what, I went there. So your faith take you where you want to go. And he said, you knock it off. He said, you're not finished here yet. And I knew this when he said this to me. I could go over there if I wanted to. But I got to be my master. And I said, Ed, you'll get there. Don't worry. You're okay. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, I don't get my eyes off over there. It's a good place. It's a good place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the devil believes. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? I just wanted you to get a hold of that today. Faith without corresponding action dies. It dies. Your faith dies. That's why you always act like whatever you're doing by God by faith, you act like you're doing something. It's gonna manifest to you. Whatever it is, you're trusting and walking in. Trusting God taking care of you just in life in general. Hallelujah. Act like it's happening. You know, and anything worse, especially being in the ministry, you have this all the time. People praying out of fear, thinking they're doing something. Well, we're praying. Yeah, you're praying because you're afraid it ain't gonna work. Scared prayers don't produce a thing. You said preachers do that. You know, I want to pray. Oh, we got to pray. We got to do that. Yeah. Say, no, I ain't going to pray like that. We ain't in agreement. We can't get in agreement with this thing. Because, see, I believe God will help Ed. I believe if we talk to him, I believe he wants to do something about this. We're not going because we're afraid. See, many times that's where people start off in their faith. It's fear. And they're trying to, well, I'm in this business. God help me. God help me. God help me. Get over there. Hold it. Stop that. You don't have to do that. God's living in you. Is he the guy throwing you under the bus? To me, it's the most one. God, I'm in this mess, but you're the guy I can count on. Man, you're on my side. If anybody's going to help me, it's going to be you. This is how you come to God. You don't come to God because, wow, I'm sure it's going on. What am I going to? Many times God has helped people on the baby side like that, but you can't keep that up in your Christian walk. That's why people don't get answers. They're praying by fear, not by faith. They don't want that place of confidence in God. They're going to keep on praying until they see something happen. Call it faith. And it's not. Hallelujah. They don't arrive at the place. There's never no joy till the thing changes. And if it don't change, there ain't ever no joy. This is the wonderful thing that the Lord taught me in life. We're going to go on into more of those kinds of things. I'm just going to read verse 24 that says, You see that he says a man is justified by works or his actions, his deeds, not just by faith only. So we say a person's justified by their faith and actions. They're justified by that. Hallelujah. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works or corresponding action or actions and deeds is dead also. Just like when your spirit leaves your body will die. James said, you don't have actions. Your actions don't line up with what your faith is. Your faith is dead. It ain't going to produce a thing. That's a powerful statement. You got to admit, that's a powerful statement to be made. We don't hear it much in faith teaching. They'll read through these things and you skip through them quick and you go over and you teach all this other stuff. But the actions, your corresponding actions will put you over. They help keep you steady. And that's what you want to, what you're going through in life, whatever it might be that you're going through, you want to be able to stay steady. You know, there's nothing worse than going through a tough situation, going through hardships and going through things. But if you're going through them and you're not in faith and you just don't have confidence about what's going on, your actions and that stuff of what you do, just they make things worse and they just make things worse. You know, don't you just feel wonderful to tell everybody else what your problems are? That just turns around and just makes you, don't when you're done, you just feel so good. You're so good. Now that's how people feel good about it, because now they got somebody else messed up like they do. That makes them, excites them. You see, it's getting over and into our actions. Hallelujah. Just acting like it's true. If you believe you got something, act like it's true. Act like you have it. Your actions can be things that you say and do. They can be your actions afterwards. You know, it's like I learned, like say, from Kenneth Hagin, and even Ken Jr. talked about it. But he said when we were kids, he said when the family got together and believed something, we put it on the refrigerator. He said we believed that God did it. And he said, then every time you went to the refrigerator, you saw that, then you said, thank God he's taking care of this for us. Thank God he's done this. See, they were reminded every time of that, to thank God that he's done it. You see, their actions of what they're doing is fortifying their faith. See, we focus on what we call manifestation rather than focused on the areas that God said was our faith and what we're doing. See, if you focus on your action, the stuff will come. It'll come to you. Jesus said, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, you'll have it. I always just say to myself, Ed, you're going to have it. I'm going to have it. I'm right at the time I pray, you're going to have it. That's just the way it is. No matter what happens to, seems like it's going on out here, it doesn't. I'm going to have it. So I'm going to have it. So praise God. Hallelujah. It belongs to me. It was given to me. See, get this in your mind. When you stood in faith, whether it's healing, your healing start at the time that you said you believed you got it. If you're waiting for anything else, you're not in faith. If you expect a goosebump feeling, you ain't in faith. You don't look for that kind of, you stop right there, and where that is at, that's, I receive my healing. That's my healing. It started right now. My body's recovering right now. It started when I said that. Now, you know what? It's going to act like it's a working. I'm acting like I'm recovering. I'm going to act like it. See, I have a hard time with it. I find this all the time with Christian spirit-filled, but they're in the hospital, you go to the hospital. Can't get them to, again, their actions are terrible. They never act in line. Oh, they want you to pray, but praying itself doesn't going to do anything. Act like you're getting something. You know, go care. I've learned it. Don't, doesn't matter what the doctor said. Is the doctor more important than Jesus? So you get to say, well, yeah, the doctor, I always thank a doctor. Well, you told me what you know and you can do. I mean, thank him. He did what he could do, you know. Hallelujah. But, hey, I got another guy. I got the big man. Don't worry about it. He never expected you to be God. Only Christians that don't know faith do that. Expect the doctor to be God. My doctors ain't God. I don't ever expect none of them to be. I don't put that pressure on them. You don't put pressure on people because of your laziness and faith. It's good preaching. People do. They put pressure on somebody else to take care of what they can't believe for. We don't do that. So I never put pressure on doctors. That's the doctor's problem. I don't care if he made a mistake. He's a human. Ed did dumb things too. So let's, you know, now we can both get together and agree on that one. But in spite of Ed being stupid, God's good. And I can stand in faith and see we need to come to that place where we just stop and say, hey, you know, God, it's working. See, it doesn't matter if it don't seem like it's working. It doesn't matter. It's working. Hallelujah. My faith's working. Glory to God. See, we're going to go on more of this and use, from look at the scriptures, things that people did. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at that, I'll tell you, we'll find out. See, your faith is great, but I'll tell you what, when you start acting like the word's true, glory to God. Amen. I'll tell you, you done lit the match. With the match, just lit the dynamite. It's about ready to blow.
Hallelujah.
And see, that's what you do. You get around. See, I learned to turn around and have joy in things when it don't look like it should have joy. See, I can put a smile on my face whether I feel like smiling or not. I know how to do that. I can do it. I don't need to have to have somebody do something funny to me feel good to laugh. I'll tell you what, I've had laughing spells already because things were going wrong. They're going wrong. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. All that I can see of it is going the wrong direction. And I'll just start laughing. I'm just going to laugh. See, I don't have to. You can't. A life of faith, you don't have to see everything that's going on. You know? It's like on a computer one can put. I didn't know what was on that hard drive. The Holy Ghost didn't tell me, and I didn't know. But I didn't act like that thing wasn't, you know, oh, this is the end. Oh, my God, I lost this. Do this, is that. You know, then I got to do all this work. I did not. Yeah, you go through that thing. No, I'm just happy. My mom said, you seem awful happy with this going on. Well, what are you going to do? Say, I could cry and be miserable. Now, wouldn't that be fun? That'd be nice. Wouldn't you have enjoyed that, honey? She's seen Ed like that already. She don't want to see no more. How about you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you're here today. You're people of faith. That's what you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you may already practice these things, but you need fortified in them, you know. Peter said, you know, you need to be taught these things again and again. You teach people over and over again because you can't ever get away from it. It's just the way the system works. It's because, see, it's one of the things we're living here in a world. In this world, there's always stuff going on constantly that works against our faith. It is a constant. And you get the barrage whether you want it or not. You get the unbelief barrage. You get the barrage of all the things that are happening and going on in this world. You're hearing it, stuff going on around you, stuff happening. You're always having that pounding and pounding against you. That's why it's going over these things and going over these things. It just fortifies you in your walk. Because, you know, the majority of what goes on is against faith. It's not for it. It's against it. And I mean, you even listen to a lot of Christians are in opposite direction of faith. You know, they're caught over in that trap. They're sitting in churches. Don't teach them the truth. They don't teach them. They don't know. And so they're operating and they're pushing that direction. And you know, it really comes down to the fight of faith. And it is. You got to maintain. You got to stay in training. You know, you want to be a good boxer. You don't get in training just when you're going to go up for a fight. It's a constant life. As long as you're going to do it, you better be in training. You know, you get professional sports people. They train all the time and all year round. They're, you know, football players don't not train. They're still doing workouts and stuff and things like that. There's guys that hire trainers to them, but I mean the mid-seasons to work with them all the time during the season. So you wonder why they make so much money? Because they're out there working at it all the time. They ain't complaining. They ain't looking for vacation all the time when they could afford to take it. They could take vacation all summer, but they don't. See, we're vacation miners over in this side of leisure side. Our minds run there, but spirituality, you can't do that. Your spiritual development. You can't go on vacation. Ever go on vacation from God? You know, we go on vacation from God. We just got to get away from God a little bit more. We go on vacation over here. Hallelujah. You got to keep God on your mind all the time. That's what I do. I wake up in the morning, He's on my mind. I wake up in the middle of the night, He's on my mind. He's on my mind. There's a lot of things want to be on my mind. There's a lot of things would like to come. There's thought. But see, we just got to go there to that place. Hallelujah. Decide what you're going to meditate on. Hallelujah. Meditate on what you got. Meditate what He's already given to you. Hallelujah. It's already working in me. It's already working. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's already, when I believed I received it, it became mine. It's already working. Right at that time. Amen. Right at that time. Whether it's finances. Hallelujah. I believe it. It's once I did that, it's already on its way to me. It's on its way. It's showing up to me. Hallelujah. It's already on its way. It's not going to be on its way. It's already on its way. When I did that, it's come. It's already on its way. Whatever it is. And see, get yourself in that mind and thought. If you think like that, I'll tell you what, you won't be depressed. You won't be sitting around unhappy about your dilemma. Because you're not in a dilemma. Hallelujah. It's already working for you. Isn't that wonderful? It's already working. See, get that in your mind. Get that in your thought. It's always going to lead to make you happy. It's always going to lead to get a smile on. Oh, what a relief. I don't have to worry about that. Glory to God. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Glory to God. I always like that, being around somebody. You know, get a tub of this and do it. It's going to be okay. So you got to be one of those people. Because you'll be definitely the minority. Something happens and most people run around, oh, we're going to do about this, we're going to do about it. It's going to be fine. Say, do you know what's going to happen? No, I don't know what all is going to happen, but I know this. I know God's going to work out for me. Don't know about you, but it's going to work out for me. Might not work out for you, but I'm going to be okay. Hallelujah. See, I don't have to know everything. I just got to believe in the one who knows everything. That's what faith is about. The faith ain't about knowing everything. It's about believing in the one that knows everything. Hallelujah. Knows how to fix my problem. Knows how to fix your problem. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. You're so loving and merciful and kind. You're so absolutely phenomenal. And Lord, you set up a system. And Lord God, it just makes spiritual sense. It just makes spiritual sense. And Lord God, it's a system. Hallelujah. It fixes us, spirit, soul, and body. Makes us sound. Hallelujah. Lord, takes us out of the place of worry and fretfulness and the anxieties of life. Oh, Lord God, it's a place of victory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, where the devil can't work. He can only talk. But he can't work. Hallelujah. Because that's the place of confidence in you, is the place of power. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, and that's our place. That's our design way of life, to live by faith. Hallelujah. And I just want to say thank you. I'm so appreciative, Lord God. Because, Lord, I know this. If I could do it, anybody can do it. Hallelujah. You made a plan that was simple. And a God with such wisdom follows such a simple way in your own being to do. It's amazing. It's so simplistic. It's so simplistic. Poor dumb Lucifer looked right over top of it and didn't see it. Him walking around living with you, what a dummy. He didn't see the simplicity. He didn't see that your wisdom would outshine all that he did. What a God we got. Hallelujah. And then wonderfully, Lord God, you gave us authority over him in the name of Jesus. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord God, that we, as your people, we have the victory. We're not trying to get it. You've already given it to us. You've won it for us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, your people are blessed. They're blessed coming in and going out. Lord, people looked in the law. They wanted, trying to stay away from the curse. And you redeemed us from it. Hallelujah. And all's left is the blessing. All that's left is the blessing coming in, going out. Hallelujah. On a blessing on us and our offspring. Blessing, Lord God, on our bodies. Hallelujah. Lord God, no matter what, we're the head and not the tail. We're the ones above and not beneath. And you, Lord God, hallelujah. By faith, we can walk in that place. Lord God, it don't matter what people say about us, whether we're winners or whatever they think. Hallelujah. We're the winners. We're the more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We always triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, we got it made. And we just want to let you know how much we appreciate it. It's your great work that did it. We're just trusting in you. And you will never quit on us. You'll never stop. Hallelujah. Lord God, we do look for that day. Father, what a day that's going to be when all the saints of heaven and earth are going to be together with you. My. Oh, what a time and glory. Lord, it's hard to think on our mind the glory that's involved in all of this. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us speckles of light into that glory. Thank you for letting us see into it, Lord God. And hallelujah, Lord, I believe there's more and more a longing within people, and you put it there. It's a longing within us, hallelujah, for your return. Father God, we just want to thank you today for it. Lord God, I've always said this and I'm going to continue. The good work that you started in us, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be glorified in us. Jesus Christ will be magnified in us. And we thank you, Lord God. We realize it. It's not by our greatness or our great abilities. It's because of your working in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.